We've been studying about commitment, and I want to kind of end the commitment up series here today. And the title of this one here is Commit to God's Word. Amen. Oh, we didn't do the offering, did we? Thank you very much for reminding me. We got communion too, so don't forget to remind me. And the children for Sunday school. Yes, thank you. See what happens when you do things different. Yeah, let's lift the offering. Let's do that. Let's pray for the offering real quick. I know Kathleen prayed for the day of national prayer, but let's just pray for the offering. Lord, I just pray for this offering, Lord, to be used, Lord, to help, and that the message will be sent loud and clear, that you're in the throne, you're in control, and love conquers all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Here you go, Pete. Praise the Lord. Well, don't forget to write a thought down, okay? Get your little notepad out or whatever you write stuff down with. Write a thought down. Commit to God's Word. A lot of things change in life. A lot of things change. Have you noticed that? Anybody getting any wrinkles as you get things are changing, right? Things are changing. Yeah, they sell some stuff to help with that, but I don't know if it works, so good luck. I have no idea if it works. I went to the eye doctor yesterday, and I've never been to the eye doctor before in my whole life. But as you know, I've been squinting a little more, and I guess I'm going because things are changing. I need glasses to read. I can still see this, by the way, but I'm just going to get them before it gets too bad. I need reading glasses because my body is changing. They say I'm getting older. I don't know how that works because I've never been older before. But I'm getting older and things are changing. My kids are changing. Your kids are changing. They're all changing. Time keeps changing. It won't stop. Circumstances around us, they keep changing. But one thing I know for sure that never changes is God's Word. Amen. It never changes. If you turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 1. Commit to God's Word because it is stability. It is the truth. It is the guide. It is the lamp unto your feet. It is the direction that we need. And it is the correction that we need. Well, we don't always like the correction part. But we need to be corrected. Amen? Amen. I only heard Brother Cassiano say amen. We need to be corrected. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you. We do need to be corrected. The Word of God, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light that shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. The Word is stability. The Word is truth. The Word is life. The Word of God was there in the beginning before it was all created. And it is truth today. And summed up in love. Love. For God so loved the world. So the Word is something that we can commit to. Because you know, you don't want to commit to something that is not sure, right? You don't want to commit. If you're making a deal with somebody and you're not sure if they're going to keep their end of the deal, you're not going to commit, right? But one thing we can commit and go with all our hearts is to trust God's Word. And that even means when I don't understand God's Word that somehow I trust it because God's Word is truth and it actually does make sense once we get enough wisdom and knowledge in our understanding. So trust. Trust it. It is stability. It is wisdom. It is truth to all of us. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Amen. Beautiful. And if you've always wanted you know, how do I read the Bible? You know, it's best to read the New Testament, the Gospels and Romans and those scriptures that teach you about the New Testament living. That's how I always recommend it. And not to start, do not start in Leviticus, right? Not wise to start in Leviticus because I still sometimes don't know what it's talking about there. But it's about all the laws and stuff of the Old Testament. But read your word. The word is stability. The word is truth. The word is our lamp. In Hebrews chapter 4, it talks a little bit more about the word. And I've preached on this scripture before, but I want it before I move on to the main part. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 really, really gives you a vivid picture of what God's word does and what it reveals and what it does. And I love the scripture for that reason. For the word of God is quick and is powerful and is sharper than a two-edged sword. The word of God cuts, right? It's quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. And it is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. You start reading God's word, those parts that tell you what to do and what not to do, it starts cutting you up, doesn't it? It starts cutting you up. And I love the way it describes it. You know, like when you cut around muscle and bone and ligaments and bone marrow, you know, when they do surgery, and the word of God just gets that fine and that precise to cut out the stuff that's not right in our lives. And the word does that. That's pretty amazing. God's word has a way of cutting through the fake things and revealing the truth about who you and I really are. Amen? That is a good place for an amen. God's word will cut through and get to the truth. And when you don't want to hear the truth, what's that movie says you can't handle the truth? Anybody know? No, it's old. You can't handle the truth. Sometimes we don't want to hear the truth, and that's when you begin to drift away from reading your word and going to church and being in God's presence. Does that ever sound familiar? Anybody done that in their life? I've done that. So you've done it, I'm sure. We've all done it. When it starts getting too personal and too cutting into our lives and our faults, and the word starts challenging us, we tend to push back. And I'm here to tell you, don't worry about it. Commit to the word. You'll be okay. We need surgery in our hearts. We need our carnal hearts to be surgically removed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? We do. So do not be afraid to be cut by the two-edged sword of the Word of God. Do not be afraid to enter into a challenge of who you are. Because when you are not afraid to do that, when you're not afraid to look at your faults and look down deep in your heart, and you commit to God's word, when you're in that mindset, in that heart set, you are about to experience some amazing transformation, where your carnal heart is cut out and it's replaced by love, by caring, by God's heart. So Hebrews 4:12 really gives a vivid picture that we are sinners lost and we're saved by grace. It's God's word is meant to change you and it's meant to perfect you. We all need to be changed from the inside out, whether it makes us feel good or not. God's word is alive and God's word causes a reaction. It does. It causes a reaction. Let's go to Daniel chapter 5, verse 17, if you'll turn there. Commit to God's word. That's the message today. Commit to God's word. It's worth it. It's a lamp and it's worth it. You will see things you've never seen before when you commit to God's word. And I'm not going to read all of this story, but I'm going to give you a little bit of background. And we most of us know the story of Daniel from Sunday school, right? Daniel in the lion's den. But I want to just kind of go back a little bit and give you a little bit of the short story review. In Daniel chapter 5, Daniel is summoned because the king at the time has this experience where this writing occurs on a wall. The hand of God writes something on the wall. And he's pretty freaked out about it. And he's asking the whole kingdom, this something happened here, and I need somebody to come and interpret what's on this wall that was written by a hand. And he's looking out, and he even says, anybody who comes and is able to interpret this, I will give them, they'll be like third in line in my kingdom. Third in command, right? Third in line. And finally they start, people are talking, well, we know somebody who's done this before. His name is Daniel. And he's interpreted dreams and he's got these gifts. And it just happens whenever he speaks, things happen. And so let's summon him. So they summon Daniel, and Daniel comes. And he, when he comes, the king offers him everything, right? The third in command, riches. If you can interpret this writing on the wall, you can have everything. So first we find out a little bit about Daniel by reading Daniel chapter 5, verse 17. And he says to the king when he offered him everything, if he interprets, Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to someone else. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known unto him the interpretation. Wow, well, Daniel was not interested in the physical things of this world. Wasn't interested in power. Wasn't interested in what the king had to offer. Says, you can keep all your stuff. I'll interpret the dream for you, or the writing on the wall for you. And as Daniel begins to get more and more popular because he does interpret the dream, and it does come true, and things begin to happen, and Daniel is given more and more power and position, even though he didn't want it, he didn't ask for it. And Daniel begins to get more and more and more popular and more powerful. There was a group of men that didn't like it, you know, like politicians. Didn't like the power, that there was a power struggle in the political, and they're plotting against Daniel. If you turn to Daniel chapter 6, verse 5. Then these men began looking for some faults in Daniel so that they could trap him. Because every man has a skeleton in their closet, right? Everybody has a skeleton in their closet. And so when you run for political office in high places, right, those skeletons get found, right? And they try to destroy people that way. Well, that's what was happening here. Daniel has to have a problem, right, somewhere. And they're looking and they're looking. They're looking for something to corner him and to cast him out of power. Then said these men, we can't find any occasion against this Daniel, except we did find one thing concerning the law of his God. So the only thing they can find on Daniel is that he was committed to God's word and God's law. That's the only thing they could find. So they wanted to use that against him. And they begin to plot. In verse 6 and 7, and these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute, an executive order, as we call it in the United States, right? We want you, we've all come to an agreement, King, that you should write this executive order or this royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition on any other god for 30 days, save thee, O King, you shall be cast into the den of lions. So they plotted, since the only thing they could find against Daniel was that he prayed to his God and he believed in the word of God, in the law of God. The only thing they could find on him was this. So they tricked the king because they played up to his pride, right? The king, like, no one can petition anything for 30 days except to you, O King, because you're awesome. So they were kind of feeding that. And the king was like, yeah, that sounds good. If you need anything, come talk to me, right? So the king is getting and doesn't realize there's a trap being set for Daniel, who the king loved. But he didn't realize that they were putting a trap for Daniel. So the king is tricked in passing a law, an executive order that states no one can petition their God. They can only request something from the king. And Daniel, being committed to God's word and God's law, could not obey the king's decree. So he was thrown into the den of lions. If we go to Daniel chapter 6, verse 17. And we all know this story, but let's take a time to read it. Verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own sign and with the signet of his lord, that their purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. So that's it. The fate was set. Daniel was going to the lion's den because he bowed to his God and petitioned to his God. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of his music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. So the king didn't even sleep that night. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and he went hastened to the den of lions. Because see, the king, he cared for Daniel. He liked Daniel. He didn't realize this was a trap, but he couldn't go against his own order. He was tricked into doing. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver you from the mouth of the lion? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. So there he is with the hungry lions, and an angel is there with them, as he says, protecting him. Maybe petting the lions, right? Like the angel's petting the lion. Can you just picture that? The angel's petting the lion's probably purring. Do lions purr, by the way? I don't want to get close enough to find out. I don't know. Maybe they do purr. But there's a miracle right there. Daniel's faithful to his God, and the king was tricked, and the king was even so anxious, he didn't want Daniel to die. Then was the king, verse 23, exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den, so that Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded that they bring those men that accused Daniel, and they cast them into the lion's den, their children and their wives, and the lions had mastery of them, and break all of their bones in pieces at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all the nations and all his people and languages that dwell on the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a new decree, a new executive order, that in every dominion of my kingdom, that men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, a steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and the dominion be even unto the end. And he delivereth and rescueth and worketh signs and wonders in heaven and on earth when he hath delivered Daniel from the powers of the lion. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. As Daniel is faithful and committed to God's word, things happen. Miracles happen. The path is set. See, the enemy has all these traps for each and every one of us. The Bible says that he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God's people have a covenant with God the Father. And when we're committed to his word, when we're committed to his calling for us, when we're committed to him, nothing can harm us. Nothing can harm us. We're set. And this morning, I wanted to read this story because Daniel was a perfect illustration of someone who was committed to God's word. God's word told him to read, to pray, to seek him. And no king's decree was going to stop him from being committed to God's word. And that's the challenge for us today. Daniel was committed to God's word, and the end result was victory. That is the story for us today. Be committed. This is a story for all of us here who serve the Lord. No matter what circumstances come our way, when we stay committed to God's word, victory will surely come. We saw it with the three Hebrew boys a few weeks back. They were thrown into a fiery furnace, but they would not bow down. They were committed to God. And the fourth man, an angel, appeared and looking like the Son of God that kept them safe. And Daniel was committed to God's word and he was thrown into the lion's den. And an angel comes and saves him from the lion. He was committed to God's word. And in both of the situations, victory came. And not only did victory come, but a whole nation was told to respect and honor their God. That's big. You see, when we begin, like this catastrophe, when Christians and God's people begin to love their neighbor and help, and everybody catches the wind, and everybody gets to feel that joy and peace in helping others, because there's a lot of people going to Houston that aren't even Christians that are feeling the vibe, so to speak, to help. And when you begin to open that part of your heart, guess what's going to happen next? They've opened their heart and the Holy Spirit can now do something that many praying grandmothers have been praying for those people that are in this situation. See, this is how God works. A nation is transformed. We have a disaster and the news is talking about people caring for people. Awesome, right? We have another hurricane that may cause another disaster and we don't know how things are working. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But in disasters, God's people always rise up. Like Daniel, like the three Hebrew boys, like Joseph. God's people always rise up. So that is the message today, church. Be committed to your calling. Be committed to God's plan for your life. Be committed to God's word. It is truth. It cuts us, separating darkness from light. But it is worth it all. Because victory comes. Victory does come. The key to witnessing and experience the victory is to stay committed to the calling, you know, to the word, to prayer, to church, to being faithful in your tithes and your offerings. Be committed in every aspect of your life, and God's victory will come for you, through you. Stay committed. And these stories that we read in Daniel with the Hebrew boys and Daniel himself, the end result was salvations. Salvations. You know, there was a prophecy here about a wave is coming. And you kind of see it, right? You know, it's like getting more and more vivid as months go on. A wave is coming. Be prepared. Be committed in prayer. Be committed to God's word. Be committed to being in church. Be committed to giving. Be committed to these little things. And you're going to start seeing God's hand move in a mighty way. In a mighty way. So that's the message today, church. Go outside these walls. Be committed. Don't worry about how many people are going with you. Don't worry if you're going by yourself. Don't worry if you know, sometimes when you challenge people, some people drift away because their heart is not ready to be committed. Don't worry about any of that. I know you're here today. You're committed to the cause of the gospel. You're committed to getting things right in your life. So go. Go. Daniel was alone in the lion's den. The three Hebrew boys were alone. Don't worry about it. Just be committed and God's going to give you things. And if you get a little lonely, just come to the adult fellowship night. We'll encourage each other, right? So be committed. That's the message. Be committed to what you believe. Be committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask Joseph if he'll come and Eloy for the communion here. And Michelle to play some music. But let's go ahead and close with our communion with the bread.